which lasts 8 hours. The Bible will not be screened in movie theatres, but a copy of it will be shown in every hotel room in the country. And it'll be shown in cinemas too. There are going to be three prices of admission. One for people over 16, one for people under 16, and one for people who become 16 during the performance. The film apparently is a colourful spectacle for the eye, an exciting revelation for the ear, and a fantastic challenge for the kidneys. It's amazing, though, really, that these biblical films should have become a trend again. In that incident, John Cleese, for instance, has just played the part of St. Peter in a television play in New York. He spent weeks as St. Peter thinking holy thoughts and weeks wearing robes and things and so on. And on the day of the show, he was being driven to the studio when a New York taxi ran into the front of his car. And the taxi driver came over and said the vilest things to John's driver. So John got out in his flowing white robes, walked over and said unto him, "Go forth and multiply." Or words to that effect. In the world of trends, it's sometimes disconcerting, of course, to come face to face with a really trendy man who really knows what's what.
Gin and tonic, please.
Thank you.
Ferrets.
I beg your pardon?
Ferrets.
Ferrets, well.
No. Ferrets are the latest trend.
Oh. So, ferrets are the latest trend, are they?
Exactly.
Why are ferrets the latest trend?
Because I've got 50,000 ferrets, which I bought very cheap. And in order to make myself enormous quantities of money, I'm going to sell them at a simply staggering profit. But nobody is going to buy these nasty, smelly, revolting little creatures unless they're a trend.
So you are making them a trend?
Exactly.
See how quick I am?
We're going to present famous people with ferrets.
Really?
Would you like a ferret?
Well, I don't think I'm famous enough.
Oh, sorry, bad luck. Well, why don't you ask me something else about how I'm making ferrets popular?
I'd like to ask you something else about why you're making ferrets popular.
Well, I'm opening 8 ferret clubs in the West End with the girls all dressed up, and they come to your table and they say, "Hello, I'm your ferret for the evening." They serve you with griddled ferret, ferret burgers, ferret in a basket, ferret fingers, boiled eggs.
Ferret eggs?
No, ordinary eggs.
Right.
For people who don't like ferrets. And ferret wine. Mm-hmm. Simply a delicious, sparkling new wine that we make ourselves. One difficulty at the moment, labour shortage.
Oh,
really? Awfully difficult to get enough people to tread the ferrets. Of course, it's a very noisy job.
If I'm any judge of this, this is bound to catch on.
Oh, goodness me, yes. Really, really, in people are having ferret parties.
Is that...
You see, you take your ferret to the party, mm-hmm. and then you throw it at someone. You keep your ferret in your ferret pocket. Here, here, let me show you something.
Stop it. Stop. Stop poking me in the eye with a ferret.
But it's a trend.
Really?
Yes, poking people in the eye with a ferret is a trend. Poke a person in the eye with a ferret a day, I always say.
Might I try it?
Yes, please.
I don't know if I'll master it.
Isn't it fun?
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
Isn't it
very silly.
Hello, Jim.
Hello, George.
Good evening.
Look, this is the most marvellous fun. It's the very latest.
You're not still on that old thing, are you? That went out weeks ago.
This is all the rage now, old boy. Look at
it. Stop it!
Perhaps the saddest aspect of this age of trend-setting has been the despoiling of the Union Jack into things like op-art sweatshirts. The other day, a girl in Chelsea went out with a young subaltern from the colonies. She thought he was trying to seduce her, but when she slipped out of her dress, all he did was salute. Imperialism is universally out, in fact. I mean, a coffee planter friend of ours tells us how distressed he was to see British Go Home written on a wall, especially as he was in Hounslow at the time. Of course, some people do resist trends. A member of the team who's an artist only paints still lifes. He's just done four British seamen. Not that the politicians are any better off. If they bow to the new fashion and allow television into the commons, they're going to have to change too. They're going to have to do something, for instance, to brighten up all those boring old speeches, for a start.
I think I should start this morning by singing
great songs of our country.
I didn't say it's going to be easy, it's not.
I believe that we can do it.
You know, and our friends in the country know, that this is altogether a different problem.
How is this problem going to be solved?
The way will be hard, and it will take time.
And I beg you to remember the Prime Minister's words.
There will be great efforts required. There will be sacrifices required.
A challenge to bring about new attitudes and new practices.
Together, you and I and our country.
There is no other way.
We simply, in this situation, couldn't do more than we had done.
Of course, it's not only politicians who are subject to trends, to fashion, to change. So is life itself, including Miss Julie Felix.
To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to love, a time to weep. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to build up, a time to break down, a time to dance, a time to mourn, a time you may embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. To everything, turn, 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 there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to gain, a time to lose, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for peace. I swear it's not too late. To everything there is a season for every purpose under heaven.
Dennis Norden was talking about another trend when he observed in a recent speech that every suggestive or controversial remark heard on television now seems to spawn an entirely new pressure group. Or as he put it, every little meaning has a movement all its own. A movement like, for instance, the League of Television Decency.
Good evening. Now, tonight in the studio, we have the chairman of the League of Television Decency, Mr. Whitefoot. Good evening.
Good evening.
Now, Mr. Whitefoot, I understand that the purpose of your campaign is, in fact, to clean up television.
Yes. We take exception most strongly to some of the double entendre and suggestive dialogue in BBC plays, for example.
Now, would you like to give us an example?
Yes. Willingly. The other night, a character was heard to say, and I quote, "Look here."
Yes?
Well, that's all. Look here.
Well, that sounds perfectly harmless to me.
Well, it depends on which way you look at it, doesn't it? I mean, to me, look here suggests look here through this keyhole at this young female person divesting herself of her clothing.
Well, I must admit, I haven't seen it in that light myself.
Well, that's what I immediately thought of, this young female person of the opposite sex, divesting herself of her clothing, standing there, revealed in her flimsy undergarments, with her bosom throbbing through the thin cotton of this. I mean, isn't that what any decent person would think?
Can you perhaps give us some further examples?
Yes, I can. In a play only last week, which was watched by millions, a character was seen to pick up a telephone.
Well?
Well, don't you see? Don't you see the erotic imagery contained in that gesture?
An ordinary telephone?
Yes, of the type used by certain sick people. And take my word for it, they are sick, they are mentally sick. Sick! The sort of people who phone up young female persons and breathe down the phone at them and say terrible remarks, to wit, George is being unfaithful to you.
George?
George, that's her husband, George.
But to return to the play, I mean, surely no such event took place.
Didn't it? No, it didn't. Something much worse than that took place. The actor was heard to say, and I have it written down here somewhere, the actor was heard to say, "Hello."
Well?
Yes. Makes one blanch, doesn't it? Visibly. I blanched visibly. "Hello," he said. And we all know what that meant, don't we?
Well, what did it mean?
It meant, "Hello, what have we here? Surely it's a young female person divesting herself of her..." "With her proud bosom thrusting up..." I have the headaches, you know. I have to...
Whitefoot. Surely such remarks would only offend a small number of people.
Exactly, that's what the BBC do. They go out of their way to offend minorities. I mean, look at some of the suggestive titles they have for some of their programs.
For example?
Well, "Quick Before They Catch Us." "United." "Blue Peter." "The Bar Festival." "Two-Way Family Favorites." "Watch with Mother."
Mr. Whitefoot, the BBC wouldn't intend to hurt anyone. Wouldn't you agree, surely, that evil is in the eye of the beholder?
Exactly, evil is in the eye of the beholder. But you've got to know what you're looking for.
Mr. Ronnie Barker and Mr. Ronnie Corbett. Heroes today are downtrodden figures in Scruffy Max, Michael Caine in The Ypres File, Richard Burton in The Spy Who Came In From the Cold, and Harold Wilson in Number 10 Downing Street. Or as Ian Smith said the other day, there are two races in Africa and I intend to win both of them. Looking at the political aspect, can you imagine what the trend away from purely nationalistic thinking did, for instance, to flagpole manufacturers? That's one of the saddest things of a successful trend. In order to make way for it, something else has to go. I mean, just think of how many cozy and familiar objects are becoming extinct because of new trends. Collar studs, bus tickets with punch holes in, sock suspenders, and what about turnip fluff? And Vera Lynn, to name but a few. I mean, let's consider, there are other venerable and respected products that have been replaced by new trends in styling and packaging. I mean, ballpoint pens have taken the place of pen nibs. Aerosol tins of shaving cream have taken the place of shaving brushes. Henry Miller has taken the place of asterisks. David Kossoff has taken the place of the Old Testament. A trend to welcome, though, I suppose, is the current fashion to slapstick silent comedy. But equally a trend to loathe is the addition of those unspeakable commentaries.
When Knockabout was king, fun was the thing. And that silent slapstick star, Shorty Sherman, washing up all keyed up because he's making up to Susie LeSueur, which burns up Chubby Harbottle. Shorty's feeling effervescent, but did you ever see him that he effervozzled? Sad to think, by the way, that Shorty, a miserably lonely man in real life, was soon to end it all by throwing himself under Oliver Hardy. Ouch. Hey, by the time Chubby's paid for all those broken plates, he'll be as flat-busted as Katharine Hepburn. You know, this speedy, savvy, silly, spontaneous silent screen sequence certainly symbolizes the special Senate style. The freshness and the boldness, the action and the tempo, the actress and the bishop. Hey, what am I saying? Watch the next bit now as the manager comes in and gets hit with a punch. That isn't customary. No, it's Huckleberry. You know, it's sad to think that Chubby Harbottle was soon to be involved in a sordid vice scandal which brought his career to a tragic and messy end. This is what they laughed at. 53 years and two bloody world wars ago. Hey, the manager's coming back, played by Pismo Grilch, an actor who suffered from heart trouble, and this unrehearsed shot was his last ever. Well, we've gone back through time for the fun time of a lifetime in old-time ragtime Hollywood. Sad to think that the sherry in that trifle was to send poor Susie LeSueur on the long downward slide into alcoholism. Bye now.
And that's trends, really, with not a mention of Time magazine, with new inventions adding to the trends all the time. A Birmingham man has invented a razor blade that lasts a lifetime. Next of kin have been informed. And Alexander Graham Bell would have invented the telephone 10 years sooner if he could have got his wife off it. We leave you with trends. As the necklines get lower and lower, the skirts get higher and higher, one middle-aged man summed it up when he said, "I don't know where it's all leading to, but I want to be there when it happens."